Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
With a reminder that there are a lot of ways by which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can listen on terrestrial radio. You can listen on satellite radio, Sirius XM 131. We also have a CRI app. And if you want to download the app, you can go to equip.org/app to do that. And when you do, you can listen, learn, share. You can listen to live Bible Answer Man broadcasts. You can listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can also read articles online on the app, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion. So go to equip.org/app and download the CRI app there so that you can listen with your smart device as well. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, and our contact information via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can speak with our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up, Jimmy, New Orleans, Louisiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi, Hank.
Nice to talk to you.
So I have a question regarding morality. I am Christian. I have a coworker who was formerly a Christian, and I think he's not self-identified, but if I had to identify his beliefs, I would call him a deist. He does not believe in the Bible or any form of religion. So I question him as far as his morals go, and how can he have morals without being a Christian and without believing in the commandments of God's commandments? What is that even possible for someone who was not raised in a religious system, regardless whether Christianity or anything, to have morals?
Yeah, it is, because even non-believers know the difference between right and wrong because of natural law. So can unbelievers display good morals? Again, the answer is yes. It's not necessary to believe in God to behave in ways that accord with conscience and decent morals. Of course, I know many atheists who are what you could call upstanding, respectable people. But of course, the Bible shows that all have sinned, none are righteous. So they, along with the rest of us, live with the fact that we have a willer that is bent in the wrong direction, if you will, a broken gene. And you cannot have the righteousness of Christ apart from Jesus Christ. And remember, when that righteousness is spoken about, Paul talks about it as a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. One other point, I think, in this regard, it's impossible to account for objective morality without God, but that's a different issue. You cannot explain or justify the existence of objective moral values and duties apart from God. So it all starts with God, but natural law is written on the canvas of our consciousness.
Understood. So a question that followed this conversation was, related to something I saw in the news. It was a little boy in a foreign country being trained virtually from birth to be a killer. He was trained how to use automatic weapons. And the question came is that if his whole life, from youth to adulthood, he's trained to kill and to murder, is his chance for salvation already written?
Well, no.
If he's not following any kind of moral code, what is it? Because essentially it's not his fault that he's being raised this way. He has no choice.
Well, he does have a choice, and the fact is that what we know for certain is what the Apostle Paul says when he's in the Areopagus. He talks about the fact that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So what we know is that all of us have the light of creation. We look at the universe around us and we know there is a universe maker, just as certainly as if we would look at a basketball, we know that there's a basketball manufacturer. And then God has written, and I just alluded to this earlier, he's written a knowledge of right or wrong on the canvas of our consciousness. And therefore, as Paul says in Romans chapter 2, we are without excuse. And thirdly, what we are promised is that if we search after light, we will receive light. Now, I cannot deal with every possible anecdote, but God can. And I know that in eternity, he takes into consideration every single converging factor, such that his justice and his love is on display in perfection. So while I cannot deal with all the anecdotes, God will deal with them in perfect love and perfect judgment. I can't, again, fully cash that out. I don't have the capabilities because I can't take into consideration all the converging factors in all human situations, but God promises that his justice and love is absolutely perfect, such that when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and people and nation, we will be delighted in his judgment, because we will say, just as if we were standing in a courtroom and we knew that the judge fairly considered every factor, we would be very happy with the verdict.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matt. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri on the web. Hi, Matt.
Oh, Hank, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I want to thank you for your time. My question has to do with something we don't talk in the church a whole lot. It has to do with sex toys. And I want to clarify and be very, you know, straightforward on where I'm talking about this. I'm talking about just within a marriage, you know, not inviting other people in the marriage, not self-masturbation, nothing along those lines, just a man and a woman within a marriage using sex toys. And I've done some research, and of course, obviously, the Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about it. And it talks about more of the immoral use of, you know, self-masturbation and other things. So I wanted to get your thoughts on it and see if you had any good ideas for resources on that.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is we did a book, which is titled God's Design for Sex. There are some very, very good chapters in this book, and some that deal specifically, actually, with the question that you're asking. Think about marriage, though, holistically, and you realize that marriage is parabolic of Christ and the church. And so it is a sacred union, because it's expressing something that is ultimately the quintessence of our relationship with God. It also, however, is for the propagation of the human race, and then it is for psychophysical pleasure. God has designed sex. It wasn't designed by someone else. It is his great gift to humanity, but it has to be exercised in a way that is pleasing to him. And I don't think that the intensity of experience can ever be thought of in such a way as to trump intimacy with God in importance, meaning that a behavior can deliver a high pleasure, but that does not in and of itself legitimize the behavior. And it's unlikely that sex toys, or what you alluded to earlier, fit the concept of sacred union. And the reason is both may enhance the individual's pleasure apart from unity with one another. But the quality of the union is meant, as I said, to represent Christ and his church and should be judged by the oneness that is experienced, not just by the pleasure that is experienced. So again, the fact that something delivers high impact in terms of pleasure is of little importance if it does not also bring a couple genuinely closer together. And we see that intimacy in sort of a triangle, where God is at the apex of the triangle, we are at the two corners of the triangle, at the base of the triangle. In other words, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to one another. So the intimacy that we experience in sex is not just intimacy represented by two people having physical pleasure, but there is a metaphysical aspect or component to it that is inextricably related to our relationship with God. So all of that has to be taken into consideration. That's probably the best I can do in a soundbite, but the book God's Design for Sex does deal with your specific question and then with the broader issue as well.
No, that's perfect. That is exactly what I needed, sir. I appreciate that very much and agree with you 110%. Thank you very much for your time.
You got to appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ron next, San Antonio, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ron.
Hey. We're going to go from A to Z, or actually from G to R. 29:30, finishing up in chapter 36, gives a list of the 12 tribes, Israel's sons. Then we go to Numbers. And Levi's pulled out. This is for the inheritance of the promised land. Then we go to Revelation. I got ambushed by Jehovah's Witness while I was minding my own business, cutting grass. That the list in chapter 7 of Revelation is different than that of the chapters in Genesis and Numbers. So I researched it all out, got a whole bunch of different answers. So I called you, figured I'd bounce it off of you, get an answer from you, and then I'll weigh it against everything else I got. But right now, I've got that Ephraim was left out because the tribe of Ephraim was king at the time of the 10 northern tribes, and the tribe of Dan led them into idolatry, so that's why Dan and Ephraim were pulled off the list. Go ahead. Your best shot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Actually, also, Dan was largely obliterated. But you think about this as you go through Scripture, and you allude to this in the prologue to your question, there are no fewer than, I think, 20 variant lists of the tribes. These lists can include anywhere from 10 to 13 tribes, actually, and thus no list in and of itself needs to be identical. Rather, the context determines the list that is used in any given time. And this is very commensurate with this idea that words and phrases in Scripture are not univocal, they are equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context gives them. And so these tribes are listed in such a way to make a point. And of course, the point in Revelation with respect to the variant lists is very, very interesting because the number 144,000 is used, 12 times 12 times 1,000, or the 12 apostles of the Lamb times the 12 tribes of Israel times 1,000. And the idea there becomes the full complement of God's people. So on the one hand numbered, on the other hand a great crowd that no one can number. The Jehovah's Witnesses have taken this passage and they've completely prostituted it. So what they now have is the belief that God has two classes of people. The one class is a heavenly class, 144,000 get to go there, but all those tickets are sold. The other is an earthly class a great cloud. But actually, biblically, this is not how the Bible refers to it. The two are identical. They are not different. So the 144,000 and the great multitude are not two different people, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literarily, the 144,000, the great multitude, are comparable to the lion and the lamb. The point being that just as John is told about a lion, and then he turns to see a lamb, so he was told about the 144,000, and he turns to see a great multitude. Thus, the takeaway being that the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb, namely the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, as I said, the purified bride is numbered. From the other, she's innumerable. But the idea that God is two classes of people is simply unbiblical. The Jehovah's Witnesses are off base on that, as they are on other essentials. We'll be right back.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip, bibleanswerman.org. Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, and the testimonies keep pouring in. Here's one that caught my attention today. Thank you for your ministry. Include is a $200 donation to keep the message alive here in St. Louis, Missouri, and wherever your voice is heard. I've learned from the Bible Answer Man broadcast for over 15 years and absolutely love the truth reflected on your shows. Thanks to your ministry, I confidently teach a seventh grade Catholic parish School of Religion class, and I now feel I can answer any question the children throw my way, regardless if the question is about God, other faith, cults, etc. So please keep up the good work. It's a pleasure to tune in to your show on my commute home from work. Who would have ever imagined getting stuck in traffic could be so enlightening? Yours in Christ, Barrett. And thank you for that letter, and thanks for all those that make letters like that possible. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion. As we close out our fiscal year this month, equip.org. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, Dan, Waco, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Hank. I want to thank you for your ministry. I'm relatively new to Christ, and listening to your program has surely answered a lot of questions that I've had. One question that I've got that kind of leads probably into some other questions, but last week Obama said basically that he could not support the term radical Islam, said that it didn't matter who the enemy was, they were still the enemy no matter what you call them. But in this society where we have sanitation engineers instead of trash men and administrative assistants instead of secretaries, isn't that just blatantly throwing it in our face, saying I can say whatever I want? And how has it become so easy in this country to change the minds of almost everybody? Because how, let's take the gay lesbian community. That used to be a hidden secret thing, and now it's splashed all over the TV. It's splashed all over everything you see and hear, like you're talking about a cow walking down the street, something as common can be. How has it become so easy for our society to be indoctrinated into new thoughts, new thought processes? Somehow I'm missing that. I guess I'm a little bit too old to be changed that quickly, and I don't understand how that can happen.
Well, you know, you get sucked into this, whether you're watching movies or you're watching television, or you're just watching ads. For example, as I was going to this event, a conversation with Donald Trump in New York, I was in a taxi cab, and there's now taxi TV, if you can believe that. And as I was watching taxi TV, of course, there's always ads that run. During the trip into New York from JFK, I saw three ads during just that one taxi cab trip. I mean, it was a while. It took an hour. But three ads on transgenderism. And the ads were powerful. I mean, there are the images of these very, very delightful girls inviting a transgender person into the bathroom. So you have a male or a female, as the narrative goes, trapped in a male's body, and the male is following the girls, in fact, being invited by the girls into the woman's bathroom. The sophistication of the ads, and that is just one of the ads, the sophistication was breathtaking. And you see this over and over again. And you imagine children, you talk about age, but you imagine children that grow up seeing this over and over and over and over again. After a while, if and when they happen to go to church and they hear someone saying something about transgenderism based on biology and not feelings, what's the first thought that comes into their mind? What's their problem? In other words, the narrative, if you hear it over and over again, and especially in an age of sound bites where people cannot think critically, don't exercise discernment skills, after a while, the narrative becomes your worldview. And that is what is happening. And like other traitor elites, Obama thinks that religious ideology really doesn't matter. He thinks as long as he ignores a religious ideology of our enemies, then they can be won over by the attractions of Western liberal democracy. So he thinks the problem is economic poverty, its lack of education, has nothing to do with ideology. But the truth of the matter is, it has a lot to do with ideology. In fact, I have just been writing about this. You look at the ideology of Muhammad and the four rightly guided caliphs that followed him, you know, the 29-year golden age of Islam that followed Muhammad's death, and then the caliphates that followed. And then you look at Baghdadi and what he is doing today. The mirror images are incredible. In other words, Baghdadi is not doing anything new. He is doing what Islam has done for 1,400 years. Ideology really does matter. Not only that, but we have to recognize something very important. And that is, while Islam is seen as a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word religion, it's not just that. It is, in addition, an economic, political, social structure that rides on the rails of Sharia. So it's not like other ideologies in the sense that it is purely religious. This is about a system of government. It is about a metrics of laws. It is about a social construct, a political worldview that is all-encompassing. You know, I can't imagine that Obama doesn't know all this, by the way. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I was reading Time, and, you know, the minute you start talking like this, the flip switch goes to, oh, he's a birther. No, I'm not into any of that. But I have a hard time imagining someone who calls himself a Christian speaking in soaring rhetoric about Islam on the one hand and demeaning Christianity on the other hand. Why in the world would you want to be a Christian if you think the Bible and the Christ of Christianity was involved in things that all of us would think are horrifying, and on the other hand, speaks of Islam and Muhammad in the most grandiose, reverential tones? I mean, am I drawing a conclusion? Perhaps not. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what to think. I know he's a smart guy. I know he says he's a student of history. So I assume he knows at least as much or more than I do. So I'm left wondering, what in the world is going on? Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Rob. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi. I appreciate your ministry. And while I don't agree with everything you say, I don't agree with everything that anybody says, and I agree with a whole lot that you say, so I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You mentioned someone named, I think it was Paula White, and I was wondering if you could give us more information about who she is.
Sure. I wrote about her in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. She's a self-proclaimed prosperity preacher who feeds faith food to millions around the world. And she's got all kinds of claims. She claims a divine visitation in which God gave her a vision of multitudes of millions of people as far as her eyes could see. And in that vision, every time she opened her mouth and she began to declare the word of the Lord, there was a visible manifestation of the power of God. And she says that souls were saved and the sick were healed and the broken were restored. And conversely, when she was silent, people began to fall into utter darkness. Now, what is the message? Well, the message is God does not want us to live in poverty or lack. He wants us to be prosperous. Those are not my words. Those are Paula White's words. God wants you to have it all. And to have what God has for you requires the sowing of seeds. So for the next 4 months, she says, I'm sowing $68.19 based on Psalm 68:19, that daily God will load me up with benefits. Now, why do I bring up the number? Well, because she uses numbers all the time because there's magic in the numbers. What's the magic? $68.19 times 12 equals $818. And Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God will give you power to get wealth. So if you give $68.19, there's a magic in the numbers. And like other faith teachers, her formula for success involves right words, and that produces right thoughts, and right words and right thoughts create your world. In other words, your words create your world. This is part of Word of Faith theology. Faith is a force, words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, one creates their own reality. Well, her justification, she says, if God can create something out of nothing and we are created in His image, then if we can imagine it or image it, then it can be the same for us. We can create our own world. Of course, her own life has not lived up to creating her own world. She bankrupted a church, a megachurch, along with her then husband in Florida. And then after that, has gone through, I think, at least two more marriages. I can't keep up with it. And now she started a church in New York and evidently supported in part by Donald Trump. And he considers her to be his spiritual advisor. Classic Word of Faith teachers. And she has proclaimed all kinds of miracles, including seeing the blind receive sight, resurrections from the dead. But as always, the devil is in the details. To date, she has not provided even basics to buttress her boasts. Again, I've written about this in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org.
Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Tom, listening in St. Louis, Missouri on KSIV. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I have a question
about a young rapper named Shia Lin. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm just wondering if you'd ever heard of him or a song called The Millennium on his album Lyrical Theology.
Yeah, I actually have. I'm not into rap music, but I actually have heard of him and his thoughts on the millennium or the millennium lyrics, yes.
All right, so he says he's amillennial, which I think I am too, but I'd like a little more information on that. Can you tell me, like, where I should look for that and how you feel about it?
Yeah, I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. A lot of people seem to think that there are only three possibilities. There's the pre-mill position, there's the post-mill position, and there's the all-mill position. And therefore, you have to fit into one of those categories. And I think that's a big mistake. I find that the people who are trying to make everything fit into that matrix oftentimes haven't even taken the time to memorize the chapter which deals with the millennium, quote-unquote, which is Revelation chapter 20. Yeah, I think the amillennial position, which is the position of the rapper, although he does, I think, in his lyrics, point out that he could be wrong and that this is a secondary issue that people can debate vigorously as opposed to dividing over. And I think in his lyrics as well, he talks about how he disagrees with the Left Behind books and dispensational eschatology and so forth. And I think he's right about that. But I cash all of this out in my book, The Apocalypse Code. I think the real issue in eschatology is to understand first and foremost that all of the Bible is eschatological in the sense that all of the Bible is an unfolding of God's redemptive plan for humanity from the fall to the point where there is a restoration, a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband, and a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them." So there is this meta-narrative, grand meta-narrative from the fall to the restoration. And, of course, we see that meta-narrative in the Old Testament through types and shadows, and in the New Testament, we see it clearly through the person and work of Jesus Christ and the redemption that he has wrought for humanity. So, again, what I'm driving at here is I think it's important to be able to read the text in the sense in which it is intended. And when thousand is used in Scripture, it is invariably used in a metaphorical sense. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. That simply means that God owns everything. Or God shows loving kindness to a thousand generation, a way of saying that God's love is inexhaustible. So thousand there is used in a metaphorical sense, and I don't think that it should be used as a time designator, either from the time between the first and second comings of Jesus Christ, or a literal semi-golden age after Jesus appears a second time. Because biblically, we know that when Jesus appears a second time, that we now have the eternal state, not a semi-golden age with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices, but we have the eternal state in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain.
Okay, so that's pretty much all said in the song, so that's pretty accurate, it would seem.
Yeah, I was pretty intrigued by his lyrics. I mean, at some point I'd like to hear him sing them, but because I'm not into rap, my kids are into various genres. They know more about it than I do.
I'm 52 and I'm not into rap either, but I heard this album on some kid's phone and I had to get it. I love the whole thing. It's amazing. So
I'm going to listen to it.
All right, well, Hank, thank you very much. I appreciate your ministry and I love you. So
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate those kind words. And yeah, you know, Jesus spoke repeatedly of the resurrection of the dead, but he did not so much as hint at the notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age, replete with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. Instead, he said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be eternally condemned." And when Jesus spoke with Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother, Jesus reaffirmed that Lazarus would be resurrected on the last day, not prior to a thousand-year semi-golden age. Nothing in the whole of Scripture suggests that those who have fallen asleep in Christ are going to return to a fallen world with fallen human beings. The biblical promise that gives us peace is that when Jesus appears a second time, there's going to be a restored universe. Nothing impure will enter that universe. So the number 1,000 is used figuratively, and this is all part of learning to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David, Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate you taking my call. Actually, I have a question on degrees of punishment in hell. And if you think it's okay, I actually have another one on hell, but I'll leave it up to you whether you want to take the second one.
Sure.
But anyway, the first one on the degrees of punishment in hell, what would you say to a person who says in response to that, obviously non-Christian, I'm not really a bad person, but the least degree, I'll be able to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the words of Scripture, what you find is that that would be very, very short-sighted. In fact, Paul warns, in essence, against thinking like that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He points out that no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ, but you can build on that foundation. And the day of the Lord is going to bring to light what kind of materials you used. Materials that will last or materials that will not last. And then Paul says, if what you build survives, you will receive reward. But he says, if it is burned up, you will suffer loss. You will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The metaphor is powerful because it illustrates the sober reality that some believers are going to be resurrected with precious little to show for the time that they spent on earth. You're going to be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And that, of course, as I've written about in my book Resurrection, conjures up images of people escaping burning buildings with little more than charred clothes upon their backs. So Christ, whose eyes are like blazing fire, is going to incinerate the work of those who build monuments to themselves, but those who live selflessly will receive reward.
The other one, if can I ask another one?
Yeah.
It's the same.
Go for
hell
it.
And rewards, the same thing.
Yeah.
Basically, let's use the rich man and the Lazarus story. The rich man dies, and of course goes to hell. When the general resurrection comes, is his agony going to be worse when he's reunited with his body? Of course, he's in agony when he dies immediately, but will it be worse when at the resurrection he's reunited?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, because what happens in the intermediate state is a foretaste of the eternal state. So he dies and he goes to Hades, which is the abode of the dead. But there is a place that we read about death and Hades being thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, Revelation chapter 20. So there's a time in which he will be judged in the eternal sense. And this is emblematic of the fact that there are not only degrees of reward in heaven, but degrees of punishment in hell. We can safely assume that a monster who has wreaked havoc on this earth is going to suffer a far more horrific eternity apart from the goodness and grace of God than a garden variety pagan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I appreciate your help. Thanks, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I think this is one of the quintessential questions. Those who build selflessly upon the foundation of Christ, using gold, silver, costly stones, are going to receive enduring reward. Think about that. We're going to be here for a very short time. We're told that life is like a vapor. It's here today, and then it is gone. And so too our lives. So this is why Jesus says, do not labor for that which perishes. Labor for that which is eternal. I mean, what this really takes is eyes that are lifted from mere earthly vanities to eternal verities. And that's difficult to do because we're sucked into this world on so many different levels. And we're called to extract ourselves from that and build for eternity. There are books of mercy and there are books of merit. The book of mercy or the book of life reveals those who had a genuine faith in Christ. But the books of merit contain a record of our deeds. Again, it's metaphorical, but it's pointing to something that's real. In other words, the metaphor has sharp teeth. And those books are emblematic of the reality that what we do during our earthly sojourn counts. It's going to impact what we do for all eternity. Now, there's so many examples that one could give of this salient reality. Paul, for example, says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. What we do now counts for all eternity. And if I may say, this is one of the reasons that I have the liberty to ask you to invest in this ministry. Because investing in this ministry quite self-evidently touches the lives of people. You hear it every single day. You have people thanking me for what I do, but quite frankly, I couldn't do what I do if it wasn't for the people standing with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. So you can invest in this ministry, and the dividends pay for all eternity because they're dividends in the lives of real human beings. We need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or simply write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants. Whatever you can do will be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter C. Right out of time. Look forward to seeing you right back here with more answers to your questions. So on for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical.
In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.